Sir Gawain and the Green Knight, an audio drama by StoryNori.com with the voices of Natasha Gostwick, Richard Scott, and Sam Freeman. Part 1.
The story that you are about to hear was all my doing. I wished it. I willed it. I spelled it. So listen well, little ones, for I am Morgan le Fay, the sorceress, no less, the queen of the Welsh witches and the enchanting enemy of King Arthur. I worked out these wonders because my womanly heart demanded an answer to a question. What is it that makes a man? Is it valour in battle? Is it a tongue that speaks true? Or is it a way with words that sways the ladies? And what beasts must a true knight slay? Serpents that breathe fire, or demons that whisper desire? And so I sought to test a man. Not just any puny little man, but the finest fellow who rode a horse since Felix Brutus left behind the flaming city of Troy and founded the race of brawling, warring, strife-loving men that are known as the Britons. The most famous among the Britons is Arthur, their king. But the noblest, the knight who perfectly combines courtesy and valour, whose every word, whose every gesture is governed by the courtly code of chivalry, is not the king himself, but his nephew, Sir Gawain. If he cannot pass the test that I set, then no man can. It is Christmas. Picture the splendid scene at Camelot Castle. The lords and ladies who gather at Arthur's court are the best in the kingdom. The men are handsome, the women are pretty. All are carefree and gay. They celebrate the festive season with games and jousting, dancing and carol singing. You can hear their noisy noels from 10 miles away. For a full 15 days they celebrate until, at last, a shiny new year is about to be born. After Mass in the chapel, the noble lords hold up New Year gifts in their hands. The ladies play guessing games for the prizes and laugh out loud even when they lose and have to forfeit a kiss. Such were the scenes that led up to dinner time. As the feast began, King Arthur took his place on the high table. All around were noble knights and fair ladies, and Queen Guinevere sat in their midst. Silks shimmered and jewels sparkled, but the brightest gems were the Queen's shining eyes. Trumpets and drums heralded the courses. I will not describe the sumptuous dishes that were laid before them, and as you can well imagine, no one lacked anything. All I will note is that King Arthur sat still. He did not lift a morsel to his mouth, for it was his custom not to eat on such occasions until he had seen or heard tell of something wonderful, and that is when I sent my creature in. My man rattled the door and came clattering into the hall on his horse. He was a giant, a man mountain, but although his shoulders and chest were as broad and square as battlements, his waist was boyishly slender. He was the biggest, but also the most handsome of men. The gaze of every lord and lady was upon him. And what amazed them most was that every aspect of the man was bright green. His tunic and his fur-trimmed cloak were green, his leggings the same, his hands were green, his face was green, his beard and long flowing hair were as green as grass. His eyes were like emeralds, And his horse, you've guessed it, was a good shade of green. In one hand, he held a sprig of green holly. In the other, a monstrous, fearsome green axe. Its head was a yard wide. Yet he wore no armour, nor carried any other weapon. The green axeman rode into the hall and headed for the high table. When at last he spoke, this is what he said.
Who is the governor of this gang? I wish to set eyes on his face and speak with him.
He cast his gaze on the knights and looked them up and down as he studied their faces and considered who was the most renowned of them all. And they looked back at him. And the longer they looked at him, the greener he seemed to grow. No one spoke a word. I would not put their silence down to fear, for here in the hall sat the bravest knights in all Christendom. Rather, let us say, it was courtesy that held down every tongue, until at last Arthur saluted the visitor and greeted him thus.
Sir, you are welcome here. Please dismount from your horse and join us at this feast.
No, so help me. I do not invite myself to your table. I am no gatecrasher. And by the sign of this stick of holly, you may be sure that I come in peace. See, I wear civilian clothes. Had I war on my mind, I would have come differently dressed. At home, I have a sharp spear and a shining helmet. But your fame and your love of thrill draws me here at this merry time of year. The greatest knights in all Christendom celebrate in this hall. All I ask is that one step forward and join me in a game. A Christmas contest, shall we say. A spot of sport.
Sir, courteous knight, if it is single combat that you seek, you will not fail to find a fight here.
I tell you in good faith, I came to this court in search of some festive fun. It is the very season for games. If there is any lad in here so bold in his heart, so thoughtless in his head that he will trade me one blow for a blow, then I will give him this axe as a prize. It is great and heavy, and he may do with it what he pleases. I shall grant his blade first strike against my bare neck. I shall stand here and not flinch. He may cut with all his force, but only once. If anyone will do me this favour, let him step forward. All I ask is a single strike on the same terms. There will be no rush to claim my right. I will wield my return cut a year and a day from now. Come. Such silence. Does anyone have anything to say?
If they were stunned before, they were more stunned now. The Green Knight twisted and turned in his saddle and cast his emerald gaze on each and every face.
What? Is this Arthur's house? Are these the knights about whom the whole world chatters? Where are the dragon-slaying, grail-seeking, maiden-saving, questing, besting knights of the renowned Round Table? Can they be these boys who will not trade one blow for another?
By heaven, no one here is afraid, merely baffled by your foolish request. Give me your axe, by Mary, and I will grant you the cut that you desire.
The green knight that I had sent stepped down from his horse and handed the axe to the king. He stood bare-necked, without the slightest quiver or shiver, and stroked his beard. Arthur swung the axe about, testing it for weight and balance. But before he was ready to deal the blow, there came a voice from the high table.
My worshipful lord, if you will, command me now to rise from this bench and to stand by you there. I do not think it right that you, my lord, should take up this haughty challenge here in your hall. So many of the boldest men on earth sit here all around, I myself am the weakest, and my life counts the least. If I were not your nephew, no one would pay me any regard. To speak to the point, let us risk my neck, not yours.
The leading nobles gathered, and they all advised one and the same that the crowned king should give Sir Gawain this game.
Let Saint Mary be my witness. I, Sir Gawain, take this axe to strike one blow against the green neck of our guest according to his own wishes. And 1 year and a day from now, I will accept a similar blow against myself from none other than this same Green Knight.
I thank you for this favour. I incline my head to you, sir, and sweep aside my long flowing hair so that you may take better aim at my nape. Deal your single blow. You will not see me flinch.
And now, courteous guest, I have granted your strange wish. Your head is parted from your shoulders. You will not, I think, be dealing any blow against me 1 year and a day from now, nor on any day. But what in heaven or hell's name is this? He, headless, stands quite still. Must I believe my eyes? He springs across the floor. His hands reach under the table and among the diner's feet. He picks up his head like a ball. He vaults back up onto his horse. And now the blubbery green lips move. It speaks.
By your honour, do not fail, Sir Gawain, and do not forget. Remember your oath before all these knights seated here. 1 year and a day from now, your quest is to find me. Be sure to ask for the Knight of the Green Chapel. Many men know me. Ask, and you shall not fail to find. On New Year's morning, take your blow as I have just taken mine. It is right and just. Come, or be called coward.
The hooves of his horse clatter out of the hall. The wild man in green is gone. Sir Gawain is speechless. Though all those seated around the hall discuss the marvel they have just witnessed, the king takes Sir Gawain by the arm.
My noble nephew, hang your axe up on the wall above the high table. In Christmases to come, those who feast here will gaze up at it and remember your wondrous game. Eat and be merry. The year is young.
The year turns hastily on, through lean Lent, burning summer and mellow autumn. At last, the calendar reaches All Saints' Day, and Sir Gawain recalls his grim quest. He must set out and seek the blow against his own neck, according to the rules of the game. Little does he know that it was I, Morgan Le Fay, who devised the rules of this sport. And soon I shall see what stuff the man is made of. He says his final goodbyes to the famed knights and ladies of Camelot. Last, but not least, he kneels before Queen Guinevere.
Gracious Queen, you honour me with your tears, but I cannot share your regrets for the life of your faithful knight. We must all submit to our fate.
Servants set out his armour on a silk carpet. He held up his spiked helmet and kissed it. He stepped into his greaves. His batman buckled him into his breastplate. 5 men lifted him up onto his horse. Over his shoulder he slung his shield, on which was emblazoned in gold his 5-pointed symbol, the sign by which all knew him as the noble Sir Gawain.
Our Father who art in heaven, I pray that the sacred star of my shield shall guide me and protect my honour. King Solomon devised this everlasting knot. Each point of the perfect pentangle reminds me of my duty. Lead me not into temptation with my five senses. Deliver me from sinning with the five fingers of my hand. Give me strength from the five wounds of your Son, our Saviour. Let me find comfort in the five joys of Saint Mary. And let me not waver from the five virtues of a true knight. Generosity of heart, faith to words, purity of mind and body, courtesy to high and low, and sympathy for those who suffer.
As soon as he had spoken this prayer, he dug his golden spurs into the side of his steed, and its hooves sent sparks flying off the cobbles. He wandered westwards, through dark forests, over high mountains, and across fast-flowing rivers. On his way, he met wild trolls, ogres, bulls, bears, dragons, and all manner of abominable beasts. He dealt with them as a knight should, with his sword and lance when need be. The rain, the sleet, and the snow showed him no pity. His only company was Gringalot, his horse. His only shelter was his armour. But all these sufferings were nothing to him. Still he quested on, until at last, on the eve of Christmas Day, he prayed to Saint Mary for a chapel where he could hear Mass. He crossed himself three times, and he came over the brow of the hill and the turrets and battlements of a strong but handsome castle came into view. With hope in his heart, he spurred Gringalot down the grassy slope to the deep moat at the end of the drawbridge.
Good porter, please be my messenger. Go to the noble lord of this house, tell him an errant knight is at his door, and humbly beg shelter.
I believe, by St. Peter, that you will find a welcome within these walls.
The porter was not a bad sort. He returned soon with company to help the guest down from his horse. As he stood in his resplendent armour, knights and squires came out of the halls and knelt before him on the cold ground.
Please, please, noble sirs, there is no need at all to kneel. I am a humble knight, like yourselves, a follower of King Arthur and the Round Table. I come to your land on an errand. I must meet the one who goes by the name of the Knight of the Green Chapel.
As he spoke, the noble lord of the castle stepped out. He was tall, broad and handsome, splendidly dressed in an ermine-lined cloak.
Gracious Sir Gawain, the five-pointed star on your shield speaks your name. My own is rather less renowned, though it is known well enough around these parts. I am Bertilac. You are most welcome here. Treat everything that is mine as yours. Do with it what you will. My page boys will free you from your armour and bring you fine clothes. Then join us by the fire and warm your limbs. My lords, ladies, see, I hold up my hood on my spear. I offer it as a prize to the one who makes us laugh the most this Christmas. It is the midnight hour. The monks call us to Mass.
Inside the chapel, Sir Gawain kneeled at the pew and asked forgiveness for his sins that Christmas night. When he rose from his prayers, he noticed a lady who had joined the company of women. Although the others were fair, she was far fairer still. She was more beautiful than even Queen Guinevere, so he thought. And leading her by the hand was another lady, though quite different to look at. The one lady was in the ripeness of youth, and the other was old and dry. The one wore bright pearls round her white throat and over her soft breast. The other covered her eyes and hair with a veil and wrapped herself in a cloak. The one had delicate, dewy lips. The others were purple and swollen. But if the young lady commanded respect among those around her, the older still received more.
Good ladies, I'm Sir Gawain. Let me be your knight. Allow me to serve you.
You may serve us with your art of conversation. It is not often that we have the pleasure of such courteous company.
My wife longs for the courtly manners of Camelot. Out here in the sticks, we barely know how to hold a knife at the table.
Lady Bertilac, I will do all I can to keep you entertained, but do not overexpect. I am at bottom a man of action, not words.
They spent the Christmas days in laughter, song and feasting. Among the ladies, the oldest, of whom I have spoken, took the place of honour at the table. Lady Bertilac was often at the side of Sir Gawain. They exchanged many glances and many words, though all of them quite proper. She seemed to delight in his conversation, he in her company. In truth, she diverted him from dark thoughts of the blow that he must receive. She made him feel that this short life, though often brutal, had been worth living.
Dear hosts, the last time I rejoiced so much and so freely at Christmas was when I was a boy. I thank you for these delights. But now it is time for me to leave your welcoming roof and to pick up my quest. I have sworn to meet the Knight of the Green Chapel this New Year's morning, and just 3 more days remain for me to seek my destiny.
Leave? I will not hear of it. The chapel of which you speak is a mere 2 miles from here. It makes no sense to leave us so soon. Rest in comfort for 3 more days, and on New Year's morning my servant will guide you to the Chapel of the Green Knight.
I would not blame you if you're in a rush to leave. I quite understand if our company bores you. We cannot compete with the ladies of Camelot for refined entertainment, although we do our best to amuse our guests. But, sir, for my sake, if you value me at all, please stay.
When a lady puts it like that, how can a knight refuse? My debt to you both, for your welcome is now greater still. I am at your service. I will do whatever you ask.
I will have to think of some little service you can perform.
Since you will do whatever I ask, here's what I suggest. Let's have a little festive fun. In the morning I will set out hunting before dawn. You shall remain here, rest your limbs, and find comfort and amusement within the walls of this castle. In the evening, when I return, I shall give you whatever I have caught while hunting. And if you have gained anything good during the day, you shall give that to me.
A simple exchange. I see no harm in that.
Exactly. Now, do I have your word as a knight that, win or lose, you will swap straight and true?
By the holy pentangle on my shield, I swear.
Then let us drink to our bargain.
You have been listening to the first part of Sir Gawain and the Green Knight, adapted from the medieval text for Story Nori by Hugh Fraser. The parts of Morgan Le Fay and Lady Bertilac were played by Natasha Gostwick. The parts of the Green Knight and Lord Bertilac were played by Sam Freeman. And the parts of Sir Gawain and King Arthur were played by me, Richard Scott. The second and final part follows shortly. For many more free audio stories, please visit storynori.com.